Hello and good morning. My name is Sherry Lou Santos and I'll be your presenter for the next presentation. I am from the University of Maryland in College Park and I'm the program manager for Project HEAL. Let me get this to wonderful. As an FYI, if you're ever a presenter for APHA, Prezi does work. It just takes a lot of technical support, just to let you know. Okay, so today's focus for my presentation is on retention. And given that we've been sitting for 40 minutes, if you can do me a favor and let's go ahead and all stand up, I would like to retain your attention through our second two or last two presentations of the day. Go ahead and give you a good stretch. There we go. For any of you guys in the walking challenge, go ahead and take some steps in place. There we go. I'm trying to win. Awesome. And then go ahead and take a seat. If you would like to remain standing, I'm more than happy for you guys to do that. I do believe in standing throughout the day. All right. Wonderful. And for those of you guys that use social media platforms, if you guys would like to follow our lab throughout the meeting, our Twitter handle is ChampUMD, and my personal Twitter handle is Sherry Lou. You are also more than welcome to tweet as much as possible during this presentation. To disclose, I have no relationships to disclose. And just to give you an overview of what we're going over today, I'll give you a little bit of a background on what Project HEAL is and what we do. Tell you a little bit about how we use community engagement, and then we are essentially a six-year project, a six-year community engagement project. So go over a lot of the retention strategies that we are using. We are currently in year five, so we're not quite at the very end of that. I'll let you know some preliminary results that we do have, and then we'll go over a discussion and conclusion. So learning objectives of the day. So one, to explain the importance of participant retention in longitudinal community-based participatory research projects. And then second, to describe at least two methods to keep participants engaged in a longitudinal community-based participatory research project. I do go over a lot of different methods for a lot of different levels of participants, so two is way more, you'll get. Right? So we do work with faith-based organizations. Faith-based organizations have definitely become a very popular venue for health promotion. And then particularly with African-American churches have actually incorporated health promotion into their mission. We do also use a community health advisor engaged approach. So we use lay community health advisors. Lay community health advisors, or CHAs that I'll refer to them from now on, are an efficacious method to deliver health information in particularly in underserved communities. Naturally, because we're using a community health advisor approach, or like a train-the-trainer approach, it naturally builds capacity in the community setting. So hopefully, at the end of projects like these, what we're aiming for is a sustainable project even after grant funding ends. So Project HEAL. Project HEAL stands for Health Through Early Awareness and Learning. We are an R01 grant supported by the National Cancer Institute. I did mention we're a six-year grant. We already got our six-year extension, so originally 5 years, extended to 6 years. And this kind of goes into playing into what Catlin said. You know, we're on a research timeline, but the community timeline is much different. It does take a lot of time. So if you're into community engagement research, make sure you take that into account. We're operated out of the University of Maryland in College Park, and we're, again, a community-based and faith-based project throughout the entire Prince George's County in Maryland. What we're going to talk about today, we're comparing two different methods for training our community health advisors and comparing and contrasting the differences that we've seen so far. So what we're doing, we train community CHAs in African American churches, and essentially what we train them to do is deliver a three workshop series on breast, prostate, and colorectal cancer. We have two study conditions, so we are a cluster randomized designed project. We have 15 different churches, so 7 of our churches fell into the technology-based study condition. Within each church, we train 2 community health advisors, 1 female and 1 male. So when we say technology-based right here, N equals 7, that means we have 14 CHAs for those 7 churches. With the technology-based condition, we use a web-based CHA training curriculum. So it's a web-based portal that they can access on their own, and it's on a self-paced methodology. And we offer very minimal technical assistance and support. So it's a very passive approach. We actually didn't meet them before having them start their web-based training. Whereas our traditional approach, where we had 8 churches in that condition, so 16 Shahs, it's a very traditional classroom Shah training. So it's us going out into their churches or having them come to us for training. I think it was about a 12-hour plus. No, that's wrong. 6 hours. 6 hours. 6 hours, and then some take-home modules to do on their own of in-classroom training. And this was like maximal technical assistance, lots of phone calls, lots of questions, and then much more technical assistance offered when they delivered their workshops. So just to give everybody an overview, I mentioned we have a lot of different tiers. We started off at the very beginning with church recruitment and community health advisor nomination. So from the very beginning, we have to keep our pastors enrolled and then also engaged and retained. We have 2 community health advisors per church. After that, we go into the community health advisor training and certification, which I already kind of alluded to in the last slide. Then we go into our workshop series, so workshops 1, 2, and 3. Typically, we wanted that to be about 1 month apart, so it's about a 2-month time period. And then the sustainability piece, so about 12 months after the first workshop, we go back into the same churches for a 12-month follow-up assessment, and then also a 24-month follow-up assessment about 2 years after workshop 1. So we're trying to retain pastors, we're trying to retain community health advisors, and we're trying to retain participants. Community engagement, the success of this project would definitely not have been attainable without our community partners. Because we are a long-term project, retention is very, very, very important to keep us going, and relationship building in the early phases at the church and child level was definitely a very important aspect of our project. So building rapport with the pastors, building rapport with the community health advisors, and even seeing them now, you know, 3.5 years down the line, we definitely have established that rapport. Some of our community health advisors consider us family. It's a pretty rewarding experience. Community partnership, we did liaise with one primary community partner, the Community Ministry of Prince George's County. So they kind of did a lot of things though. They assisted with the recruitment, with program implementation and retention efforts. They did already have a base of a lot of faith-based organizations that they had been working with in the past. That's not to say that all of those churches were the ones that participated in the project. We definitely did we're driving by, there's a church, let's ask them if they want to participate. Identification and recruitment of eligible churches, which I just mentioned, and they definitely were very engaged in the entire process. So they were definitely participating in our team meetings every month. They attended all of our events, and they were kind of like very hands-on and not just like, all right, we're the research team and they're the community partner. We're all working together on the same level. All right, I do want to mention just one more thing. So I mentioned there are different levels. One of the things that our community partners did mention in terms of retaining churches and pastors is 3 P's. So being very, very, very persistent, being very, very, very patient, and catering to the pastor's timeline. We did work with medium-sized churches. So a lot of our churches, really it's the pastor calling all the shots. So you really have to work with their timeline and be very patient and persistent. One of the stories is one of our community partners was trying to enroll one of the churches, saw the pastor walking down the street, stopped the car, took the informed consent in his hand, and went for the goal. So being that persistent, patient, and proactive was very critical to the success of the project. And then I already mentioned establishing rapport with our community health advisors and we used many, many, many retention strategies. So we did have monetary incentives at each level. So for our pastors, we gave a small monetary incentive for the use of their facilities, for the use of their church and their participation in the project. For our community health advisors, when they began their training and then also when they certified as community health advisors, there was a small monetary incentive. And then for our participants, we do have 3 very large surveys that we do ask them to complete. After each survey, they receive a $25 Target gift card, right? We had many fellowship activities, so one of the biggest ones we have is a holiday reception that we do invite our community health advisors and pastors to, in hopes that they'll kind of engage with each other. So again, trying to build that opportunity for sustainable practice after our grant funding for this project ends. We have pastor and child interviews. While that's not considered typically a retention strategy for a longitudinal project, it was still an opportunity for us to meet with the pastors and meet with the community health advisors and engage with them. Semi-monthly text messages, so we do incorporate some technology into this project. These were text messages that that participants and community health advisors and pastors could opt into. So it was every 2 weeks, we would send out either a faith-based message or a health-based message. Quarterly newsletters that went out to everybody from our participants to our CHAs, our pastors, as well as our advisory panel. Heal branded materials, which I'll show a little bit about later. And then a very extensive survey protocol that allowed participants to complete the follow-up, so using multiple methods. I do mention we have a lot of time points where we are seeing our participants. Our participants couldn't get to all those workshops every time, so we did have a very extensive protocol to follow up with them that involved mailing the surveys, calling them every couple weeks, emailing that survey, calling them again, and then we emailed a shorter version of the survey with the gift card just to see, like, token of appreciation, here you go, please fill out our survey, and we actually did see some success in that method. It took about a month and a half, I believe. No, that's wrong. 2 months and a half? 2.5 months for the entire survey protocol. And then I did mention branding. So branding is very important, and I'm a very strong proponent for branding, especially with longitudinal projects and community-based projects. So this is an example of some of the things that we have. So we had a plaque, we had a fleece blanket that we gave out to our community health advisors, we had polos, we had tote bags, we had bookmarks, we had pens. So branding our project in a way that's recognizable to the community and inviting to the community has definitely helped out with our project. So even coming back after 2 years, they see us and they know, oh, that's Project Heal, that's their branding. Or they get a newsletter in the mail, or they get a postcard in the mail. They know that's Project Heal, it's time for my workshop, let's go. So project timeline. I kind of went over the church enrollment, CHA training, three series workshop, etc. And then I kind of outlined, and I'm sorry for the small writing, I kind of outlined the three different levels, pastor, community health advisor, and church participants. So as you can see, throughout the entire project timeline, we are trying to engage with using multiple methods, all different participant levels. And I kind of went over the different things in the last slide. So, for example, for pastor, at the very beginning, giving the incentive, we gave them a fun little magnet, holiday receptions throughout, and then at the very end, a church plaque, a blanket, so really like fun things that they could really enjoy. Same thing for the community health advisor level, using the tote bag and the quarterly newsletters, we had a tiered incentive. And then for the participant level, the church participant level, giving the tiered incentives, using our text messages that anecdotally we have seen that they have enjoyed, and then going through the survey follow-up protocol that I just explained. All right, so results. Currently, I'm just going to report on our 12-month phase results, given that we're still in our 24-month follow-up phase. At the end of the 12-month phase, we had 14 out of 15 churches that were originally enrolled still engaged in the project, so 93% in retention. That fell into 8 traditional and 6 technology-based. We have 71% of our CHAs that remain engaged. This, when I put this slide together, I was like, whoa, we only have 71%, that's insane. So two of them actually withdrew with the church, and that church that withdrew was actually well before the workshops even started. Three of them had to withdraw for health reasons, and then 5 of them had to withdraw for personal reasons. We did realize with our community health advisor process in a longitudinal timeline, it was a lot for community health advisors to be responsible for. We're pretty much asking them to enroll participants, to keep them engaged, to invite them back for 12 months, to bring food at the 12-month workshops and 24-month workshops. So when you approach them at the very beginning, they're very excited, and then 2 years later, that excitement may not be as high. So that's, I think, something to think about in terms of using a community health advice approach for a long-term project. And then for our participant survey completion, at 12 months, we have an 80% retention rate. So this is including the individuals that did attend the 12-month workshop, as well as did return the participant survey using that extensive survey follow-up protocol. So some of the testimonials that we have had, one of the pastors said, everybody really embraced it. A lot of them have changed their thinking, are promoting it, and changed their diet. So I think it's had a big impact. We do have quantitative and qualitative data for this project. So anecdotally, given that we're not quite done analyzing our quantitative data, anecdotally, it's been pretty successful. One of our CHAWs said, being a CHAW with Project Heal has been a very rewarding experience. It has sparked new ideas for me and for the health education of this church. So not all churches had health ministries. Some of those have started health education activities or health awareness activities with the intention of starting a health ministry. So really incorporating health education messages into their ministry. And then one of the favorite things that I like for the participants on the very bottom, this was actually written on the survey, enjoyed and motivated me to act and get screened. So I don't think I actually quite mentioned, it's for breast, prostate, and colorectal cancer early detection. So we're promoting screening or promoting information to get screened. And they actually put a smiley face, so I wanted to add that smiley face to my presentation slide. All right, so just to discuss, I do want to let you all know that this was specific to African American churches, so that this may not be transferable to the communities and populations that you do work with. I think Catlin, someone mentioned there's like a lot of costs associated with things like this. So there's costs associated with incentive structures, and there's definitely a lot of costs associated with printing. We do work with a population of 40 to 75 year olds. So my brilliant idea was like, let's just buy iPads for everybody. And I don't know if that would have worked for our 40 to 75 year old population. We did have an emailed survey. We did have some people respond using the email survey, but it wasn't a very large percentage of people. Most people did prefer to either write out the survey and mail it back in the pre-stamped envelope, or prefer to just talk to someone over the phone, and we administered it over the phone during the follow-up protocol. The newsletter and survey follow-up protocol is very time-consuming and labor-intensive. So Catlin did mention the power of students, given that I do work at a university, the power of students is very helpful, and they definitely helped with that. And significant tracking is needed. So it's not like all the churches started at one point and we can call all the churches at this point and this point and this point. It's like this church is on this point, this church is on this point, and tracking is really needed to make sure that we don't let anybody fall through the cracks. We have experienced mail delivery problems, so they might not have received the surveys via mail. And the holiday reception and text message distribution list wasn't all inclusive to all the participants at all levels. So conclusions, project sustainability is definitely a priority for Project Heal, and participant retention throughout the duration of the project is really integral to the maintenance of the project for the project timeline phase. Our community partner was very, very, very helpful with this project and continues to be so. My grad assistant and I are here at APHA, and we had two workshops while we're here at APHA, so they definitely took the reins on that to make sure that the project keeps going while we share all this information with you. And they assisted really significantly with the relationship building. And an extensive approach to retention efforts can definitely increase the potential for success of longitudinal projects. I have some references here. And then I just want to acknowledge our project team. I do want to acknowledge one of my colleagues, Erin Tigai, who's sitting right here. I already mentioned we're supported by National Cancer Institute. We have been approved by the University of Maryland Institutional Review Board. And we do have two additional presentations today if you would like to go to them. And these are our Twitter handles if you would like to follow us. And questions are going to be at the end. Thank you very much.